You guys know I'm crazy about Audible because it offers an incredible selection of audiobooks across every genre. As an Audible member, you can choose one title a month to keep from their entire catalog, including the latest bestsellers and new releases. Audible really is the destination for thrilling audio entertainment, with female writers and heroines, celebrity narration, multicast productions with immersive sound design, and traditional audiobooks. Audible has you covered for any type of excitement that you're looking for. In fact, right now I'm listening to The Second Husband by Kate White. New members can try Audible free for 30 days. Visit audible.com/realitylife or text realitylife to 500-500. That's audible.com/realitylife or text realitylife to 500-500. With four daughters and two on a dance team, I can tell you we go through a lot of mascara in my house. But I'm crazy about L'Oreal Paris new Panorama Mascara, which catches every lash from corner to corner for maximum volume. If you're looking for a new high-end mascara without breaking the bank, this is yours. The new L'Oreal Paris Panorama Mascara gives you a high-end lash look in a premium gold luxe packaging. I've been using it for about 2 weeks now, and I feel like my eye has completely opened up, and the girls are crazy about it too. They've got a tapered brush to catch every lash, one of the best mascara wands that I've ever used. And like I said, this luxe appearance of this gold package, you got to get it. You can buy Panorama Mascara on Amazon today. L'Oreal Paris new Panorama Mascara, you're going to love it. Welcome back to another episode of Reality Life with Kate Casey. It's no secret that I love documentaries. The greatest thing about documentaries are that they give us an essence of real life, gleaned from the assemblages of historical footage, photographs, talking heads, pre-recorded audio, and the normality of a day in a person's life. They provide us with an opportunity to understand and connect with the world. They help us engage with one another around the important issues of our times. You know, much like this week. I've assembled a list of some of the best documentaries and docuseries to watch, and I've categorized them into several categories: politics, race and culture, society, families, music, religion, and crime. And I'm hoping that they're as interesting, insightful, and in some cases, inspiring as they've been for me. I'm going to post this list in my Facebook group and on social media as well, so don't worry if you can't remember the name of something I mentioned or where to find it. So here we go. These are my favorite documentaries in the politics category. The Fog of War. This is an Oscar-winning documentary. It's a long interview with former U.S. Secretary of Defense Robert McNamara concerning his reflections on his political career, particularly his influence on the U.S. involvement in the Vietnam War. It's similar to his memoir in retrospect, and he offers his view of the conflict and the complicated nature of war in general. So to put the Vietnam War in a larger context with the 20th century American history, it's available on Amazon. I actually watched this on one of my first dates with my husband. This is one of my favorites of all time. It's called The War Room. If you're somebody who loves politics, it's a great window kind of into the world behind the scenes of a political campaign. It's a 1993 film about Bill Clinton's campaign for the president of the U.S. during the 92 presidential election. It's available on Amazon and iTunes. The Times of Harvey Milk. So long before Sean Penn won an Oscar for Milk, the director picked up the same trophy for Best Documentary with this incredible portrait of Harvey Milk. He was the first openly gay member of the San Francisco Board of Supervisors and the first openly gay elected official in California history. And so his political career was cut short when he was assassinated alongside San Francisco Mayor George Moscone at the hand of their colleague, Supervisor Dan White. But his legacy has endured longer than his brief tenure as a public servant, and his courage and passion for social justice has inspired countless LGBTQ activists in the four decades since his murder. It's available on Amazon and iTunes. Inside the White House on 9/11. This is hard to watch, but it is a must watch. So in the summer of 2015, the National Archives publicly released never-before-seen photos of the Bush administration reacting to the September 11th attacks in response to the Freedom of Information Act request on behalf of Frontline. So as this short report shows, the shock, horror, and gravity of the attacks can be read on the faces of President George W. Bush, Vice President Dick Cheney, their wives, Laura and Lynn, National Security Advisor Condoleezza Rice, CIA Director George Tenet, and the other senior Bush and Cheney staffers. It is really, really compelling, and I recommend listening to my episode with author Garrett Graff, the author of The Only Plane in the Sky, An Oral History of 9/11 Afterwards. It's pretty powerful. These are the ones that I categorized under race and culture. The first is the Central Park Five. In April 1989, 28-year-old Trisha Mailey was brutally assaulted and raped as she was jogging in New York City's Central Park. That same night, five young men, four Black and one Hispanic, were arrested for suspected gang activity in the park. So after hours of interrogations and coerced confessions, the teenage boys were charged with assault, robbery, rape, sexual abuse, and the attempted murder of Mailey. So what ensued was a media firestorm in which racism within the confines of the courtroom and on the front pages of the city's tabloids led to the boys' convictions. Ken Burns' documentary, co-directed with his daughter, looks back at one of the most notorious criminal cases in recent memory, a decade after another man confessed to committing the crime and the Central Park Five's convictions were vacated. That is available on Amazon and iTunes. 13th, filmmaker Ava DuVernay provides an in-depth analysis of the ways in which the U.S. prison system has functioned as a vehicle of institutionalized racism and inequality. It aggregates footage alongside moving interviews from a long list of brilliant academics, activists, politicians, and men and women who have experienced incarceration. That is on Netflix. 16 Shots. Just a few months after the death of Michael Brown, another Midwestern city was rocked by the police shooting of 17-year-old Laquan McDonald, who was shot and killed by Chicago police officer Jason Van Dyke. The circumstances of that shooting and how the officers on the scene and people in power throughout the city attempted to control and cover up the narrative in its aftermath are the subject of this documentary account from the director, Rick Rowley. It is streaming on Showtime. Whose Streets, told by the activists and leaders who live and breathe in this movement for justice. Whose Streets is an unflinching look at the Ferguson uprising. That is available on Hulu. Fire Fraud is a true crime, it's pretty much a comedy, exploring a failed music festival turned internet meme at the nexus of social media influence, late-stage capitalism, and the morality in the post-truth era. That is available on Hulu. Let the Fire Burn. This one's quite personal because it took place in Philadelphia, and I actually watched it on television as it happened as a child. So in May of 1985, the Philadelphia Police Department attempted to evict the members of the Black Liberation Group MOVE from their row house in a residential area. The group resisted, and police unleashed gunfire, tear gas, and explosives on the home, which officials, with the permission of the mayor and district attorney, opted to let burn. Five children and six adults perished in the blaze, which also destroyed over 60 homes in the neighborhood. So this documentary account relies less on present-day interviews and narration and focuses instead on the events as they happen, presenting a meticulous TikTok of an infuriating abuse of power. It's streaming on Canopy, and like I said, it is. I still remember that. It was awful. This is called Paris is Burning. This is a documentary focusing on drag queens living in New York City and their house culture, which provides a sense of community and support for the flamboyant and often socially shunned performers. Groups from each house compete in elaborate balls that take cues from the world of fashion. That is sometimes hard to find. You kind of have to poke around. So I was having some hard times finding it this week. So tell me if you can track it down. The September issue. So it's R.J. Cutler's documentary, which focuses on Anna Wintour, renowned editor of Vogue, as she prepares for the September 2007 issue. So it's weighing in at a record 840 pages. It's their big issue. It's the most important issue. And it's just sort of behind the scenes of how they put together the issue. It's available on YouTube, iTunes, and Amazon. This is a section I have categorized as society. Up. This is something that my friend Hillary recommended to me. It's fascinating. So in 1964, Michael Apted profiled 14 children for the Granada television special, 7 Up. viewing the group as a representative of England at large across the country's socioeconomic system. So every 7 years, Abdel returned to his subjects, those who chose to participate anyway, to see how life had changed for each one and how their dreams, fears, and philosophies evolved with time. The Up series now includes 8 films. 56 Up was released in 2012, and Abdel has stated his intentions to continue with the project. So it remains a fascinating study of how class plays a major role in British culture, but also how the human experience is one that is ultimately universal, despite the specifics that we encounter as individuals. The Queen of Versailles is a 2012 American documentary film by Lauren Greenfield. The film depicts Jackie Siegel and David Siegel, owners of Westgate Resorts, and their family as they build their private residence, Versailles, one of the largest and most expensive single-family houses in the U.S., and the crisis they face as the U.S. economy declines. That is available on iTunes and Amazon. Leaving Neverland. This is a difficult one to watch, but it will stay with you. Leaving Neverland is a 2019 documentary film directed and produced by the British filmmaker Dan Reed. I have interviewed Dan Reed. It focuses on two men, Wade Robson and James Safechuck, who alleged that they were sexually abused as children by the late singer Michael Jackson. That's available on HBO. This is one of my favorites. It's called Finding Vivian Mayer. It's a critically acclaimed documentary about a mysterious nanny who secretly took over 100,000 photographs that were hidden in storage lockers and discovered decades later, and is now among the 20th century's greatest photographers. It is directed by John Maloof and Charlie Siskel. So Mayer's strange and riveting life and art are revealed through never-before-seen photographs, films, and interviews with dozens who thought that they knew her, including families that she had babysat for. It's really, really interesting. So currently, her body of work is being archived and cataloged for the enjoyment of others and for future generations. John Maloof is at the core of this project after reconstructing most of the archive, having been previously dispersed to the various buyers attending that auction. So with roughly 90% of her archive reconstructed, her work is part of a renaissance in interest in the art of street photography. That is available on Amazon, iTunes, and YouTube. This section is under families. The first is Grey Gardens. So Grey Gardens is a 1975 American documentary film by Albert and David Maysles. And the film depicts the everyday lives of two reclusive former upper-class women, a mother and daughter, both named Edith Beale, who lived in poverty at Grey Gardens, a derelict mansion at 3 West End Road in the wealthy Georgica Pond neighborhood of East Hampton, New York. There have been many spoofs done of this. It is a fascinating watch. It's available on Amazon, iTunes, and YouTube. This one's called The Wild and Wonderful Whites of West Virginia. It's a 2009 documentary film directed by Julian Nitzberg, chronicling the white family of Boone County, West Virginia. It is available on YouTube and Amazon. The Family I Had. This is going to stay with you for a couple days. Trust me on this one. It is fascinating and confounding. So 13-year-old Paris strangled and viciously stabbed his 4-year-old sister Ella 17 times in a fit of rage in 2007 on Super Bowl Sunday. Ella and Paris's mother, Charity, was an only child herself when her father was murdered and her mother was arrested under suspicion of organizing the mafia hit. So in Katie Green and Carly Rubin's harrowing documentary, and by the way, I've interviewed the filmmakers, the family try and comprehend the inexplicable, and it's an appropriately devastating watch. It's available on Amazon. Dear Zachary, the family I had, a letter to a son about his father. When Andrew Bagby was murdered by his girlfriend, Shirley Jane Turner, and Turner announced that she was pregnant with his child after his death, filmmaker Kurt Kuhn planned to make a visual scrapbook dedicated to his son Zachary so that the boy would know how much his father was loved by his friends and family. But a tumultuous custody battle between Turner and Bagsby's parents ensued, leading to a shocking twist in the family saga. so Kuhn decided to release the film publicly, turning it from a collection of home videos into a beautiful and touching portrait to a lost friend, as well as a staggering and heartbreaking true crime documentary. It is available on Amazon and iTunes. Three Identical Strangers. This is a famed reunion of triplets separated at birth, taking a disheartening twist when the three begin to seek out the conditions of their separation as infants. It is a true tour de force of the ability to documentary to capture the shocking circumstances that could only be crafted by life itself. It's available on Hulu and Amazon. Capturing the Freedmans. Andrew Jarecki set out to make a lighthearted documentary about birthday party clowns. But when he began researching one of his subjects, David Freedman, he discovered a more interesting and disturbing story. Freedman's father and brother, Arnold and Jesse, had been convicted of child sexual abuse in their Long Island hometown. So culling together interviews with the police that investigated the Freedmans and the victims in the case, and combining those conversations with the family's home video archives, Capturing the Freedmans offers a compelling look at a family falling apart when secrets and lies bubbled up to the surface. I can find that on DirecTV. There is Something Wrong with Diane. This one will haunt you, I'm just warning you. It is a 2011 documentary film directed by Liz Garbus about the 2009 Taconic State Parkway crash. It's available on iTunes, YouTube, Hulu, and HBO Max. Okay, these are my favorite documentaries under the sports category. The first one is called Hoop Dreams, must watch, one of the best of the best. This is an Oscar-nominated feature film from Steve James, which follows two boys in Chicago, William Gates and Arthur Aggie. So over the course of 18 years of their lives, they are recruited from their inner city high schools to attend the suburban St. Joseph's High School in Westchester, Illinois, and play in its renowned basketball program. So Hoop Dreams depicts the culture shock that they experienced in this predominantly white high school, to which the two boys commuted 90 minutes every day. Can you imagine that? 90 minutes every day. It is a modern masterpiece of documentary filmmaking. The film stirred controversy when it was shut out of the Best Documentary category at the Academy Awards. Its sole Oscar nomination was for Best Film Editing, which is Highway Robbery. Hoop Dreams is the best of the best. Okay, this one's called Icarus, and if you have not watched this, you need to write it down and watch Hoop Dreams and Icarus tonight. This is bonkers. This is absolutely insane. So it began as a project from Brian Fogel, in which the documentary filmmaker wanted to go on a doping regimen for this Haut Route race to see if he could elude the race's intense drug testing. He'd always do well in races, but could never really make it past a certain point. So he just thought, I'm going to mirror the Lance Armstrong doping regimen and see what happens. But what is nuts is, as he makes contact with a Russian expert in doping, he soon becomes embroiled in the biggest athletic scandal in history, as his expert turns out to be the mastermind behind Russia's doping of the Sochi Olympics. It's like part dark comedy, part thriller. It's exciting, fascinating, but it truly stranger than fiction watch. You've got to watch this. This is on Netflix. Now, this one's called The 99ers. Now, The 99ers and Dare to Dream on HBO are the same topic. Both are awesome. And oddly, I watch them when I need to get like excited about something. If I need some motivation, this is the what I will watch. I'll just watch clips of it just to get myself into a zone. So when the U.S. women's national soccer team went to France for the 2019 Women's World Cup, they were rightfully accompanied by a swarm of videographers to help catalog and preserve their record-breaking win. In 1999, however, the most compelling footage of the team was captured by team co-captain and self-appointed videographer Julie Faldi, who had helped capture an inside look at the tournament that was capped off by Brandi Chastain's historic penalty and celebration in front of a crowd of 90,000 at the Rose Bowl. That's when she kicks the penalty goal, runs down the field, drops to her knees, and rips off her shirt. It's such a great moment. So it's interspersed with clips of eight of the team's stars sitting on the same grass in Pasadena and reminiscing on the cultural significance of the tournament. So it provides a behind-the-scenes look at the team that burned Williams soccer into the national consciousness at the turn of the millennium. That's a great watch. This one's heartbreaking. It's called At the Heart of Gold. It features dozens of interviews with survivors. It provides a gut-wrenching look at the decades of sexual abuse by former USA Gymnastics doctor Larry Nassar. So it stitches together the many complex threads. It's director Aaron Lee Carr, who also did a fantastic documentary called I Love You, Now Die. I Love You, Now Die is the documentary about the two kids that were texting each other in sort of a romantic, textual, if you will, relationship. And the one girl egged the boy, Michelle Lee Carter, egged the boy to kill himself, and he actually did so. So it's a great director, Aaron Lee Carr. The one I just mentioned is called I Love You, Now Die on HBO, but this one is called At the Heart of Gold. It's also on HBO. Ultimately, the film acts as this powerful forum for the courage of hundreds of young women that lay bare that Nassar's scandal was much bigger and more sinister than we suspected. This one is a great one. It's called Tyson. It's Mike Tyson's story in his own words, and it's shockingly honest and candid, and you will see a side of him that you would not have expected. Again, it's called Tyson, and it's available on Amazon. One Day in September will stay with you. It's haunting. It's a documentary film directed by Kevin MacDonald from 1999, and it examines the September 5th, 1972 murder of 11 Israeli athletes at the 1972 Summer Olympics in Munich, Germany. It's available on Amazon. My cousin actually is an art director in movies, and he was the art director of Munich, which many of you are probably familiar with, which is the Eric Bana film about the same topic. But the documentary is marvelously done. And I cannot understand how anyone who is involved with the Olympic Committee can stand tall knowing that these families will never get the recognition that they deserve. Those athletes were murdered horribly on television, and they have tried very hard to kind of sweep that incident under the rug. So please watch it. It's called One Day in September. This is one of my favorites too. It's called Billie Jean King, Portrait of a Pioneer. It's on HBO. It profiles the remarkable life and career of tennis legend Billie Jean King, both on and off the court. She's a spectacular person. She has done so much for women's sports. She has done so much for women's rights. She's such an incredible woman and icon in her own right. Definitely watch that. When We Were Kings. So on October 30th, 1974, it was perhaps the most famous heavyweight championship boxing match of all time in Kinshasa, Zaire, the rumble in the jungle. You've probably heard that term before, between champion George Foreman and challenger Muhammad Ali. It's both a tribute to Ali and an evocation of a bygone era. It's about the transformative moment when Black America, flexing its newborn pride, encountered Black Africa. It's listed among the best documentaries of all time. Must watch. Being Serena, I loved. It was on HBO just last year. It's a look at how tennis legend Serena Williams takes on pregnancy and motherhood while still being the most dominant player on the court. I think every woman can identify with part of it. There's this one scene where her coach says to her, you've got to lose some weight, and the only way you can do that is if you stop breastfeeding. And it's just this moment that we all can kind of relate to where it's like, yes, I get it. Like, the child at some point will stop breastfeeding, but it's such a personal, incredible experience. And when it ends, there's an emotional part to that that's really hard to let go of. So I really recommend it, Being Serena. This one is my absolute favorite in the sports category. It's called Unguarded. I just interviewed the feature, the person that's featured in this. I saw this documentary. It's an ESPN 30 for 30. I saw it on a plane on a Sunday, and I interviewed him on a Wednesday. I tracked him down. I just was so compelled by it. So it's called Unguarded. It's a gifted athlete from Fall River, Massachusetts. Chris Herron was a basketball legend before he even left high school. After a troubled yet outstanding career at Fresno State, he would eventually fulfill his childhood dream of playing for the Boston Celtics, only to lose it all to a devastating addiction that nearly killed him. So it's award-winning director Jonathan Haack chronicling this powerful story of Heron's rise, fall, not really, and rise and redemption. It's a must-watch, Unguarded. By the way, all of these sports ones, you don't even have to love sports to enjoy them. I promise you, if you have a partner, a spouse, a friend, a roommate who loves sports, any of these you will enjoy just as much, I promise you. This is under the music category. Now, I have to qualify this by telling you I'm not really a music person. I'm more interested in the people that work in the music industry, so it's the story behind the story, and that's why I love documentaries that have to do with music. The first one was called Amy. I'm sure everybody's familiar with Amy Winehouse. She had a voice that sealed her destiny as a music icon at a young age, but her fate became more twisted than anyone could have ever imagined. This is a heart-wrenching biopic, deep, stigmatizing her famous Party Girl record, providing a second look into this once-in-a-generation talent's personal life and career, as well as a retrospective into how the world lost her. It's available on Netflix and Amazon. Miss Americana is the Taylor Swift Netflix documentary. It's kind of a behind-the-scenes of maybe an eight-month period, just another interesting kind of like behind-the-curtain perspective. Madonna Truth or Dare, that one, when it came out, everybody kept talking about it. It was so salacious. It was so avant-garde. It was so ahead of its time. So it really is kind of like a window behind the, you know, behind the curtain kind of look at Madonna. It obliterated this line between her private life and her public persona. She did a provocative bump and grind on stage, then backstage fellates on Evian bottle and between explicit conversations about sex with her gay backup dancers. You can only imagine, you know, how many years ago was this? 25 years ago? How everybody was like, what in God's name? She's old, like awkward encounters with old friends and family who remember her as a working class kid from Detroit. It's really the first of its kind because she was sort of narrating it. She was forcing the audience to question who Madonna is. So that line between for performance art and brand building had never been so thin. And I think that many artists have sort of mirrored that. And that brings me to Homecoming, a film by Beyoncé. So it's her 2019 concert film about her performance at the Coachella Valley Music and Arts Festival. It's written by Beyoncé herself. It's beautifully done. It's so pretty, but you kind of really get a sense of how hard she works. I mean, she works hard, and she is obviously this mammoth star, and rightly so, but a great window into what it takes to be an artist. And this one, this one stayed with me for a long time. It's called Show 'Em What You're Made Of. It's a behind-the-scenes, no-holds-barred look at the popular band Backstreet Boys as they discuss their rise to stardom. It's available on iTunes and Amazon. And some of the most poignant moments are when they all go back to their hometowns and they sort of rip off the Band-Aid and expose what it was like to be a young star, but the details of their own personal experiences, and in some cases, they're really emotionally deep. Like, for example, when Nick Carter goes back to his town, and it's the moments where he doesn't say anything where you know that the emotional toll that being a star that young took on him, but also the abuse at which he probably faced. It's really well done. All right, this section is on religion. The first is called Holy Hell and Holy Hell. That was one to watch. I did this while doing a puzzle early into quarantine and was transfixed. So there are a lot of documentaries about cults, but this one's really engrossing because the film hails from Will Allen, who documents his personal experience as a member of the Buddhafield cult for 22 years, which was led by this mysterious man who went by the name Michelle. And by the way, he's still alive and he lives in Hawaii because all cult leaders eventually end up in Hawaii. And he would wear meatball huggers and he would force the people in the cult to do ballets. I mean, it's bizarre. So what it also makes it so fascinating is the fact that Will Allen, the director, he serves as the group's official videographer. So there's a bounty of footage from inside the cult that is contextualized with the present day interviews with former members. So there are many twists and turns to be found as the story unfolds. And basically, you know, with a megalomaniacal leader, of course, there's tons of footage. So he was so self-obsessed that when you watch the footage and then you hear about their personal stories, the juxtaposition of this like narcissist with the deep pain of the former members, it's quite something to watch. And you're also confused by his bizarre teachings and how kind of people went along with it. It's something to watch. It's available on Netflix. Scientology Going Clear, must watch. It's on HBO. Alex Gibney's Going Clear is considered the definitive Scientology documentary through a history of the religion of founder L. Ron Hubbard and its manipulative and life-threatening policies under current leader David Miscavige. FLDS, Prophets Pray. It's Amy Berg's film taking on Warren Jeffs, leader of the polygamist fundamentalist Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. He's actually currently running the cult from a prison, if you can believe it, where he's serving a life sentence for raping two teenage girls. It's available on Showtime. I also recommend listening to my episode with Rachel Jeffs, one of his daughters. Oh, and the Scientology also, just to go back to that, I did interview the executive producer of Leah Remini's show, and that was pretty eye-opening as well. So go back and listen to that. The People's Temple, The Life and Death of People's Temple. Stanley Nelson's Tribeca-winning documentary centers on People's Temple leader Jim Jones, who established the Jonestown settlement in Guyana. He famously carried out that mass suicide with what people called Kool-Aid at the time. He poisoned 918 members in 1978. It's also fascinating because it follows the story of the congressman from California and his staff and the members of the media that went with them to Guyana to film the people that were there and to film Jones. And as they were leaving, they were approached by members that said in notes that were kind of passed to them on the sly, please help me get out of here. So while filming began as this thinking that they were all fine, they came to the realization that these people were actually in a dire situation. And in the course of events, as they tried to leave Guyana with some of the members that requested to leave, they were shot down and most of them were killed by members of Jim Jones' group of the vigilantes, basically. One of those women that were a member of the congressman's group survived, Jackie Speier, and she's a current congresswoman in California. She's incredibly inspiring, but she's one of the people that's interviewed. I recommend it highly. Of course, the day that she was shot down was the same day that all of the members were coerced into drinking that drink. And you probably remember in history of the helicopters that flew over Guyana and just the scene of the people laying there, all laying there. Most of the people that were parishioners were poor and from places like San Francisco, and they had given up all of their things to move to Guyana to live in this sort of commune and had the best intentions and unfortunately perished. It's awful, but a must watch. The Family, Children of God. This is the 1994 John Smithson film. It interviews one family about being raised in the family, which was a cult in which sexually abusing children was common practice. Rose McGowan and Joaquin Phoenix were actually born into the family but fled with relatives when they were children. This is available on Netflix. The Branch Davidians, Waco, The Rules of Engagement. This is William Gazeki's 1997 Oscar-nominated documentary looking at the 93 Waco incident with the Branch Davidians, which was a religious cult run by David Koresh. An ATF raid led to a shootout and a 51-day FBI standoff that resulted in the deaths of Koresh and 82 of his followers. That is available on Netflix. Okay, this section is crime. The first one I'm going to mention to you is what I would love for you to watch. This one has stayed with me for a long time. If you are a mom, this is going to be hard to watch, but it's a must watch. It's called The Caliph Browder Story. So originally broadcast on Spike and BET, this is the story of the horror of Rikers Island. It is a hell on earth where young men are turned into criminals, whether they like it or not. People accused of crimes like high school student Khalif Browder, who can't afford bail, have to sit there and wait for trial. So in Rikers, gang warfare rules, and Browder refused to pledge allegiance to a gang, leaving him open to regular beatings. He was at Rikers even though he was completely innocent. They've charged him for stealing a backpack with no evidence. So he was there for 3 years, two of them in solitary confinement. So a story should be one that makes every single American angry, and yet Rikers continues to destroy people like Khalif Browder, who committed suicide in 2015, forever destroyed by a corrupt, broken system. This is available on Netflix. It's hard to watch, but you've got to watch it because his story needs to be told. And he's one of all of the, like, I think his parents adopted like 30 kids, just the sweetest kid, and his life was destroyed. This one is called Manson Family Manson. Robert Hendrickson and Lawrence Merrick's 1973 Oscar-nominated documentary provides an intimate look at the Manson family, with interviews with Charles Manson and his former members, plus footage that takes viewers inside the family's Devil's Canyon compound. OJ, Made in America. This is a 2017 Oscar winner for Best Documentary Feature. Ezra Edelman's 5-part, 7-hour expose on the life and legacy of OJ Simpson, examining the football star's rise and fall and the murder trial that ripped the country apart in the 90s. So rather than focusing solely on the murders of Nicole Brown Simpson and Ron Goldman in the subsequent trial, this incredible documentary places the Simpson saga in a larger context, highlighting the ways in which it is said more about race and American culture than any other event that took place in the second half of the 20th century. Available on Amazon and iTunes. Conversations with the Killer, Ted Bundy tapes. This is on Netflix. So notorious serial killer Ted Bundy was unique because that he didn't actually confess to his crimes, which included the murder of at least 30 women, until the days before his execution. So it's a 4-part docu-series, and it pulls from an interview series in which he agreed to speak in the third person, like all cowards do, analyzing the kind of person who may have committed the crimes attributed to him. This story infuriates me. I recommend listening to my episode with Kathy Kleiner. She's one of Ted Bundy's survivors. She's one of the most inspirational people I've ever met in my entire life. She goes minute by minute and tells the story of what happened when Ted Bundy entered her sorority house at Florida State University, how some of her sorority sisters were murdered that night, and her improbable story of how she not only survived that attack, but how she went on to face her fears and to overcome incredible circumstances. That is a fascinating interview. So again, look up Reality Life with Kate Casey interviews. It's my interview with Kathy Kleiner. Amanda Knox, this is also on Netflix. You're probably already familiar with this case. Her roommate was murdered in Italy, and she was blamed for it and served time in an Italian prison. It is framed by exclusive interviews with the subject herself, as well as those intimately involved in the case. It chronicles the murder of her roommate and the subsequent investigation, trials, and appeals regarding her apparent involvement. The Devil Next Door. This is a perplexing story. In 1977, the same year that Amazon show takes place, by the way, an Ohio man named John Demjanjuk, it's really hard to say his name, was accused of being Ivan the Terrible, one of the most vicious and awful guards at the Treblinka camp during the Holocaust. So after years of denials, he was extradited to Israel, where he stood trial, and the case remains controversial to this day. So just recently, photos surfaced again from Sobibor that reportedly featured him. And this detailed documentary offers both sides of the story, because there's a great deal of evidence suggesting that he was an SS guard, but probably not Ivan the Terrible. So the archival footage is riveting, especially the testimony of Holocaust survivors staring down their greatest enemy. The Disappearance of Madeleine McCann, also on Netflix. This is also great to watch because a subject was actually named in the disappearance yesterday, so hopefully we'll get some answers. It's an 8-part Netflix series about one of the most fascinating disappearances in history. In May 2007, 3-year-old Madeline McCann traveled with her family to a resort in Portugal. So one night while her parents were at dinner not far away, she was taken from their room, and the ensuing investigation and media fury was like nothing anyone had ever seen. Smith gets into the case in more detail than any other project in history, ultimately revealing how shoddy police work and a rush to justice to accuse her parents likely allowed the criminals to get away. Don't F with cats, hunting internet killer. I don't even know how to describe this. There's serial killer who this web of internet sleuths kind of uncovers, beginning with a video of him doing something to a cat. It's so hard to describe. You've just got to look it up and watch it. It is bizarre and fascinating at the same time. Don't F with cats, hunting an internet killer. Dream Killer is about a gentleman who worked at the Columbia Daily Tribune in Missouri. He was murdered outside the office, and for 2 years, no one had any idea who committed the crime until a young man named Charles Erickson claimed that he had suddenly remembered having murdered him, something that came to him in a dream. And as he told the authorities, he did it with Ryan Ferguson. There was almost no evidence, and Ferguson did a decade behind bars because someone he knew had a dream. It's a terrifying story of demented injustice that peels back the layers of how wrong this case went under the watch of prosecuting attorney Kevin Crane. It's called Dream Killer on Netflix. Killer Inside, The Mind of Aaron Hernandez, also on Netflix. So in 2013, Aaron Hernandez, while on the roster of the New England Patriots, decides to kill Odin Lloyd. And the investigation into that crime revealed that he may have committed a double murder just a few years earlier in Boston. So it's Geno McDermott's 3-part series examining the details of both crimes while also offering theories as to why Hernandez committed them, including the impact of the death of his failure, possible brain damage from playing football, and even the suggestion of closeted homosexuality. So that's a really interesting watch. Making a Murderer. So the preponderance of true crime documentaries on Netflix can really be traced back to this massive success in this late 2015 series by Laura Riccardi and Moira Demos. It is the story of Stephen Avery, a man who spent almost 2 decades behind bars for a crime that he didn't commit and then possibly committed a murder. Could he have been falsely accused twice, or could he be guilty of the second crime? Questions still swirl around this case that ignited something in the public interest so much that Netflix even created a follow-up series in 2018 to detail further developments in the case. The Staircase. This one you'll think about for weeks and weeks afterwards. So it's picked up and added by Netflix. It's actually a 2004 French miniseries that many true crime fans point to as one of the essentials of the subgenre anywhere. Is a riveting case, the death of Kathleen Peterson, whose husband, Michael, was convicted of murdering her despite his protestations that she fell down the stairs. So it happened in December 2001 and instantly became a major case, with authorities believing that Peterson had bludgeoned his wife and then staged the scene to look like an accident. He said that she fell down the staircase. The reason The Staircase is so powerful is that it's exhaustive, spending time with Peterson through every phase of the trial, and yet you're still going to be left feeling uncertain about what exactly happened that fateful night on the staircase. Who Killed Garrett Phillips is actually not just true crime, but a real window into race in our country. So on October 24th, 2011, 12-year-old Garrett Phillips was murdered at his home in Potsdam, a small town in upstate New York. So police quickly zeroed in on a subject in this unthinkable crime. Oral Nick Hillary, a black man in the mostly white community who was a soccer coach at Clarkson University and the ex-boyfriend of Garrett's mother, Tandy Cyrus. There's no question in my mind that he did not commit this crime, but he was basically framed for it. It's on HBO. It's called Who Killed Garrett Phillips? I actually had a police officer, a detective from Boston, review it for a previous episode, so you can go back and listen to that too. Okay, these are my favorite docuseries. These are ones that are going to suck you in, and they're great to binge, and all of them are interesting in their own ways. So the first is Tiger King. I did a behind-the-scenes interview with a reporter that spent a week at Joe Exotic's zoo, and then it then began a podcast that became very, very famous. And then from there, people were interested in creating the Netflix series. So listen to that episode because it's behind the scenes with extra information. If you're not familiar with it, it is a 7-episode series that's crazier than the last, to say the least, to the point where you're going to be finding yourself saying multiple times, it can't be weirder than this. Like, this is, it hit the weird limit. So Tiger King follows the exploits of Joe Exotic. He's a flamboyant and extremely confident owner of a private big cat zoo in Oklahoma. And the story of Joe Exotic, as I said, is stranger than fiction. It involves lies, guns, polygamy, a bid for the U.S. presidency, and a murder for hire plot. I mean, and it's all true. It's crazy. Abducted in plain sight. The words nuts, bonkers, crazy, what in the world come to mind when you watch this true crime documentary. And it is done by Sky Borgman. I actually interviewed the director and the two producers of this. Go back and listen to that episode. So the narrative follows the Broberg family, whose daughter Jan was abducted not once, but twice by their neighbor, Robert Berchtold, who they called B. The details of those abductions certainly fall into the realm of stranger than fiction, but the methods that he used are that of a true monster and predator who ripped the Broberg family apart simply so he could get to Jan. The story's details are jaw-dropping, but the overall narrative is far more unnerving. Abducted in Plain Sight on Netflix. This one's on Netflix. It's a great, great show. I remember telling Jenny McCarthy and Donnie Wahlberg, go watch this, I promise you. And they binged it, I believe, all in one weekend. It's called Formula One Drive to Survive. So even if you're not a Formula One racing fan, and I was not, I had never even spent a minute of my life watching a Formula One racing race, and now I am because of this show. So it's a docuseries that takes an entire season of Formula One racing and condenses it into its best moments and storylines, with each episode approaching a riveting angle divorced simply from who's the best team or who's winning in the standings. Instead, the filmmaker finds unique angle in every episode, whether it's the team's two drivers who don't get along, a driver who's struggling with a series of crashes, a manager who doesn't know how to get the best performance out of his team. It's really peeling the curtain back on this sport, which is making so much money, and to just find out, you know, what do they have to eat? How do they go to the bathroom during the race? All of the minutiae that goes with one of these races, it's really fascinating. The Keepers. This will stay with you for a very long time. It is a docuseries format, and it's also done by Netflix. So the show delves into this mysterious disappearance of a murder of a nun, Sister Kathy Sesnick. She was murdered in 1969 in Baltimore, and examines the circumstances, the many suspects, and the other relevant aspects of the case. It's revealed that Sesnick may have uncovered horrendous sexual abuse that was going on at an all-girls Archbishop Keough High School. Specifically, women came forward with allegations that two priests at the school, most prominently Father Joseph Maskell, had been forcing female students to perform sex acts on him and others. The theory then was that Sister Kathy was determined to out and put a stop to the abuse, and then was murdered in order to silence her. So there are two of her students that have worked tirelessly over the last few years to uncover what had happened to her, and they are at the heart of this film. And Jane Doe, who comes forward for the first time to reveal herself and to really talk about what had happened at the hands of Father Joseph Maskell. It is difficult to watch at times, but it is a must watch. And it's also in some ways a love letter to this nun and to nuns in general for the incredible work that they do, but of this particular nun and how much she touched the lives of her students. Again, it's called The Keepers. I did interview Gemma Hoskins, which is one of the two former students that has investigated her death, and I recommend listening to that episode as well. Atlanta's Missing and Murdered, I interviewed the producers pretty recently, I think maybe last month. So between 1979 and 1981, at least 30 African-American children and young adults disappeared or were murdered in Atlanta. Although 23-year-old Wayne Williams was prosecuted for two of the crimes, the rest of the cases were ultimately closed following his conviction in 1982. So 40 years later, with the official reopening of the case by our beloved Atlanta Mayor Keisha Lance Bottoms, This 5-part docuseries tells the inside story of this shocking tragedy. Shocking. How could this have happened? How could this have happened over a 3-year period? It sheds new light on these horrific killings through exclusive archival footage, unseen court documents, and interviews with those closest to the children and the investigation. This is available on HBO. The Inventor. So this is Academy Award winner Alex Gibney. He also did Enron, The Smartest Guys in the Room, and Going Clear, as I had mentioned above. He directs this documentary investigating the rise and fall of Theranos, the one-time multi-billion dollar healthcare company founded by Elizabeth Holmes. She is the sort of sandy-haired girl who always wears black turtlenecks and has big eyeballs. So in 2004, Elizabeth Holmes drops out of Stanford to start a company that was going to revolutionize healthcare. In 2014, Theranos was valued at $9 billion, making Holmes, who was touted as the next Steve Jobs, whom she was totally obsessed by, the youngest self-made female billionaire in the world. Now, just 2 years later, Theranos was cited as a massive fraud by the SEC, and its value was less than zero. So it draws an extraordinary access to never before seen footage and testimony from key insiders. Director Alex Gibney will tell a Silicon Valley tale that was too good to be true with all the drama of a real life heist film. It examines how this could have happened, who's responsible, while exploring the psychology of deception. And that is on HBO. The Last Dance is one of the most well done series that I've ever seen. This is a 10-part series providing an in-depth look at the Chicago Bulls dynasty through the lens of the final championship season in 97 to 98. The Bulls allowed an NBA entertainment crew to follow the team around for that entire season, and some of that never-before-seen footage is featured in the documentary. In addition, ESPN spoke to more than 100 people close to the team and personalities who experienced the run, exploring all angles of the Jordan phenomenon. Episode 9 is enough for your jaw to drop. It is so good. And I have to say again that I interviewed Michael Jordan's biographer, Rollin Lazenby, and it's my very favorite episode I've ever done. So check that out too when we talk about this series. Wild, Wild Country. Now, if someone comes to me and they're like, what do I have to watch this weekend? Like, what's the one thing? My first question is always, have you seen Wild, Wild Country? So it's a documentary series about the controversial Indian guru Bhagwan Sri Rajneesh, sometimes people called him Osho, and his one-time personal assistant Ma Anand Sheela and their community of followers in the Rajneesh Puram community located in Wasco County, Oregon. This is the first time that a cult sort of melded Western capitalism and Eastern mysticism. So people who were educated gave all their money to this guy who dressed up like ZZ Top and had all of his parishioners wear monochromatic outfits with medallions with his face on it. This guy had 120 Rolls Royces, and no one thought a thing about it. I will leave you with this. The series opens with people rolling out a red carpet while others feverishly use dustbusters to clean that red carpet while others are playing flutes and recorders by it in order for him to walk down the red carpet. It is bananas. So please watch that. Wild, Wild Country on Netflix. Cheer is also on Netflix. It is a 6-part series that follows the nationally ranked 40-member Navarro College Bulldogs cheer team from Corsicana, Texas, under the direction of Coach Monica Aldama as they prepare to compete in the National Cheerleading Championship, which is held annually in Daytona Beach, Florida. Inside look on what it takes to be a competitive cheerleader in college. Oh my God, these kids, what they physically put themselves through is nuts. And I think the most important takeaway are these incredible kids and their tenacity and their drive to succeed. And there's one, Jerry in particular, that will just have your heart melt. So that's called Cheer and it's on Netflix. This one I really love. I've recommended this a ton of times to people, especially if you love sports. It's called QB1, Beyond the Lights. It's a 2017, well, it began in 2017. It's a documentary web series directed by Peter Berg. And each season focuses on 3 high school quarterbacks from different backgrounds as they play their final season before they move on to college. And I just got scoop. I was talking to a babysitter in my neighborhood who said that she had just graduated, or her brother had just graduated from Modern Day High School, and that the football team's quarterback is going to be in season 4 of that show, which is great because it's local and maybe I can hunt him down for an interview. QB1. So they've just completed filming season 4. I recommend personally jump in season 3 like I did and then go back and watch it. Though in season 1, my own high school, Milton Hershey School, makes a brief appearance. So QB1, Beyond the Lights.
The amazing Kate Casey.
I'm hoping this is a helpful list for you. I'm eager to hear which ones you love and have loved, especially after maybe coming across this from the show. Let me know what you think. And again, I'm going to post this master list. So don't worry if I've gone too fast, you've missed something, you're looking to find out where you can watch something. Don't worry, I will have a list put up. I want to thank you for your time, and I'm wishing you guys a great week. It's obviously been a very difficult one, but I'm really confident that we're all really going to come out of this stronger, more empowered, educated, and hopeful and inspired after you know, really it's been weeks and weeks, but most importantly this week. And so I want to remind you to go to iTunes and subscribe to the show, leave a 5-star review, join the Facebook group, Reality Life with Kate Casey. As I mentioned, I will put the list of these documentaries in that group. You can find me on Twitter at Kate Casey. You can find my Instagram at Kate Casey CA. Jump onto my Instagram too, because I'm always posting what guests I'm going to be interviewing in the future. So you can send me questions that you want me to add to my list. And I also have a Patreon page with bonus episodes. So you can go to patreon.com/Kate Casey. I do true crime, reality television, anecdotes, etc. But I'm wishing you guys a great weekend. I can't wait to circle back with you next week and speak to you soon.
Listen to the 48 Hours podcast for shocking murder cases and compelling real-life dramas from one of television's most watched true crime shows. Go behind the scenes of each episode with award-winning CBS News correspondents and producers in Postmortem, a weekly deep dive. Listen to 48 Hours wherever you get your podcasts.